Translation. Just as the aquatics always desire to remain in the vast mass of water, all conditioned living entities naturally desire to remain in the vast existence of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if someone very great by material calculation fails to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Soul, but instead becomes attached to the material household life, his greatness is like that of a young, low-class couple. One who is too attached to material life loses all good spiritual qualities. Hopeful. Or let's just break down the translation for 30 seconds and then we go into the book. So here Supreme Goswami is talking about, just as the aquatics, the source of the aquatics is the water. Because without the water, the aquatics life cannot sustain. Yeah? So that's the jasana water, and the aquatics are the aquatic life. So just as the fish cannot survive without the water, similarly the soul is of nowhere without being connected to the Lord. Yeah? So just as the fish, the source of the fish is the water, similarly the source of the soul is the super soul, is the Lord. Yeah? So that's the two things. And then Prabhupada will talk about the aquatic life, then about the soul, human life, and then about the problem, then about the solution. Yeah? So four things. Although crocodiles are very fierce animals, they are powerless when they enter out of water onto land. When they are out of water, they cannot exhibit their original power. So this part was about the aquatic life, that their power is in the water, otherwise they are powerless. So similarly, now the comparison, similarly, the whole pervading super soul Paramatma is the source of all living entities, and all living entities are part and parcel of him. So just as the fish is part and parcel of the ocean, the living entity is part and parcel of the vast ocean, which is Krishna. When the living entity remains in contact with all pervading Vasudeva, the Krishna dear body, he manifests his spiritual power exactly as the crocodile exhibits its strength in the water. In other words, the greatness of the living entity can be perceived when he is in the spiritual world, engaged in spiritual activities. So the spark is only brightest when it's connected with the fire. The moment the spark is away from the fire, then it's useless. That's what Prabhupada is saying there. Now the problem statement. Many householders, although well educated in the knowledge of the Vedas, becomes attached to the family life. They are compared here into the crocodiles out of water, for they are devoid of all spiritual strength. Their greatness is like that of a young husband and wife who, though uneducated, praise one another and become attracted to their own temporary beauty. So Prabhupada says, if you send us the translation, that you know, this thing is like a young, low-class couple. Why young? We'll talk about that. Because normally we say, you know, that we have the life, or we have the life is condemned. When husband and wife are attached to each other and together, they are attached to their family, is generally, you know, not the way of living. But here the example given by Sukadeva Goswami, the Prabhupada expands on, is about the young couple. So why young couple? Why not old couple? Just so we talk about that and remind me if I forget at least. This kind of greatness is appreciated only by low-class men with no qualifications. Now the solution. Everyone should therefore seek the shelter of the Supreme Soul, the source of all living entities. No one should waste his time in the so-called happiness of materialistic household life. In the Vedic civilization, this type of crippled life is allowed only until one's 50th year, when one must give up the family life and enter either mode or vanaprastha, independent, retired life, focal division of spiritual knowledge, or sannyas, the renounced order in which one completely takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada also says here that one must. This type of crippled life is allowed. Crippled life. The household of life, Prabhupada says, is crippled life. Pretty strong, actually, it is. Om Yadati Randhasya Yananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Vinitam Yena Tasmai Shri Yuve Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuktale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ji Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sanyavani Tara Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so today we will be I will be speaking in almost 4 or 5 parts. Section 1 will be, we will talk about the context of what is this fitting in the, because there is a new episode in the Bhagavatam in Canto 2 from the last few chapters. So we will talk about that. I'll try to set the scene for myself and for those who kind of like the connection from one section to the other, you know, what is happening. So that theme is ready, that's one part. And then this prayer is from Narasimhadeva, from Prahlad Maharaj to Narasimhadeva. So we will talk about Prahlad Maharaj and we will talk about Narasimhadeva today as well. I just want to talk about the Narasimhadeva. So that's 3. And then 4th one, we will talk about what Prabhupada is trying to educate us, elucidate us on the purport. No? So that's 4 part. And then maybe we will have the 5th part as well, which is the solution to the problem. And maybe the 6th as well, which today is a very auspicious day. A lot of important events are there today. So kind of maybe we will talk about that, or at least I have mentioned that very briefly. Yeah? So let's start with the context setting. So Canto 5, we are into Bhagavatam. Canto 5 can be divided into 2 sections. Section 1, which we have been seeing for so long now, is about the dynasty of King Priyavrata. So it started right from chapter 1 about King Priyavrata and his wonderful activities, and then all his descendants and their wonderful activities. Some of the great personalities that we saw as we were reading and unfolding and taking the pastimes of King Priyavrata, and I noted him down, was Priyavrata himself. Then we talked about Agnidhara, these names might ring a bell. Then we talked about Agnidhara, then we talked about King Navi, then we talked about King Rishabhdev, Lord Rishabhdev himself. Then we talked about Bharat, then we talked about Bharat Maharaj, and he came to take as Jag Bharat. Then we talked about King Gaya, and that was the last, almost the last personality that we saw in that particular episode of Bhagavatam. So all the beautiful, amazing pastimes of all those different exalted devotees in that dynasty. Part B of Canto 2 is about the geographical creation. The question that Parikshit Maharaj has asked when Sukadeva Goswami was talking about the dynasty of King Priyavrata, one of the things that, not one of the things, Maharaj Parikshit registered everything. He didn't need any external hardware, so he was absorbing everything, waiting. One of the things that he has picked up is that Sukadeva Goswami, you said that Priyavrata traversed the entire creation. And his chariot made different marks in different regions. So can you please tell me about all those different creation and where did King Priyavrata go on his chariot and all that thing? So that leads Sukadeva Goswami to talk about the second section of Bhagavata, which is all about the geographical locations, arrangements, the Bhumandala, the Bharatvarsha, the Mudriva, all those things. Now, to be honest, I don't understand all the things fully. It's too complicated, the whole structure. So we just hope one day we are able to go to the temple of Delhi Planetarium and then see exactly how these things are exhibited. Prabhupada gave us some ideas about the chandelier and how those things came. So when you read this Bhagavatam, these things start coming to mind, that how all these things is arranged. Very, very technical, But what we will do, we will just understand how this text fits in this context and then just explain on that, So, in response to that question, Sukadeva Goswami says that, and I have to refer to my notes because I don't know this often. What Sukadeva Goswami says that the Bhumandala, which is the creation, is divided into 7 islands. And those 7 islands resemble a lotus flower with 7 different petals. So that's our Bhumandala, which resembles a lotus flower with 7 different petals. So that's the Bhumandala. The Bhumandala has got 9 different varshas. Now varshas are like the divisions of rain. So there's Bhumandala with 7 different islands. 7 different islands, which is the 7 different petals. What are these 7 different islands? I'll read it out. Jambudvipa, Palakshadvipa, Salmalidvipa, Kushadvipa, Karunchadvipa, Sakadvipa, and Pushkaradvipa. So those are your 7 dvipas. Now within each dvipa, there are different subdivisions, varshas. And at the moment we are zooming into Jambu dvipa, which has got 9 varshas. And what are the 9 varshas? The Ilavita varsha, Hari varsha, Kuru varsha, Hiranmaya varsha, Ramyaka varsha, Ketumala varsha, Bharatswa varsha, Kim Purusha varsha, and Bharat varsha. Then what we know, so let's just talk about these varshas for now. How many varshas are there? 9. Yeah? 7 dvipas, 9 varshas. Bhumanda is 7 dvipas, 9 varshas. In the 9 varshas, what this section of Bhagavatam does, from the second half of the last chapter, which was 17, till the first half of the next chapter, which is 19, is talking about prayers from individual personalities in each of these varshas. So therefore there are 9 varshas and there will be 9 prayers, is it? In chapter 17, in the last chapter, we saw the first prayer from Lord Shiva to the presiding deity of that varsha, who was Lord Sankarshan. So we saw that at the back end of the last chapter, chapter 17. And in the next chapter, chapter 19, we will see, I think there was one or two, let me just check. There will be 2 more prayers. So 2 in the next chapter, 1 in the last chapter, so that's 3. Therefore, in this chapter, there has to be 5 prayers, is it? So far in this chapter, we are seeing the second prayer, which is the first prayer in this chapter, is the prayer from Maharaj Parish, from Parishit Maharaj to Narasimha. Sorry, from Prahlad Maharaj, from Prahlad Maharaj to Narasimha. And we have been seeing this in the last 7 or 8 verses, this particular prayer coming on. So what was the prayer? Let's quickly just recap the prayer. What did Prahlad Maharaj say to Narasimha? And today we are at the second last verse of Prahlad Maharaj's prayer to Narasimha. And tomorrow we will conclude with the prayer, whoever is speaking tomorrow. So what have we seen so far? In verse number 8, we started with Prahlad Maharaj paying his obeisances to Maharaj, to Narasimha. Now this is, I could be incorrect here, but just as I'm studying Bhagavatam, I have noticed, and that helps me as well in my understanding and comprehension of Bhagavatam. Whenever there are prayers offered by exalted devotees, there are at least 3 aspects of the prayer. And those 3 aspects can be in any particular order. 1, there will be, of course, obeisances in the prayer. 2, there will be glorification. No? Whoever the prayer is, generally not the Vishnu Dharma, so there will be glorification. And 3 will be the benediction of what they want in the prayer. No? So obeisances, glorification and benediction. And it could be either way. It could be benediction, glorification. Generally it actually starts with obeisances, but sometimes it ends with obeisances as well. And then the benediction. The benediction will of course not be anything material. The benediction, when the prayers are by the pure devotees, will of course always be, whatever their request, will be always spiritual. And definitely something that can help the person who is praying to intensify his Krishna consciousness. And as well as the intensification of the Krishna consciousness of the general populace. So here, what does happen? In Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, it starts with verse 8, which is the obeisances. In 9, and this is all we have already seen here, yeah, in the last week or so. In verse 9, he talked about that let everybody be known envious, so that they can start practicing Bhakti Yoga. Because to practice Bhakti Yoga, we should be nirmatsaranamsata, you know, we should not be envious. In text 10, he said that let everybody have attachment to the devotees. Why attachment to the devotees? Because when we have attachment to the devotees, then what will come out of that is Krishna Katha. Because 3 things are required for a good discussion. A good speaker who is a devotee, a good hearer who is a devotee, and the content should be Krishna Katha. 3 elements are required. Because we can have 2 devotees talking about Brahma Katha, then that's not beneficial. So although it's the speaker is devotee and the hearer is devotee, but if the Katha is about coronavirus, okay, sometimes it's useful to discuss all what's happening in the world, but if it's totally non-devotional, and if it's just definitely only devotional, then it's that Katha is useless, yeah, in one sense. So 3 elements are required. So here, Prahlad Maharaj, why do I keep saying Maharaj? I have to say, I'm getting confused with the two. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that let me have attachment to the devotees so that they can be Krishna Katha. That's what he's saying. And when Krishna Katha is there, then he is saying in text number 11 that healing will lead to purification. Healing will lead to purification. Now this we know. This we know from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is like Tachuno. We have seen so many places in Bhagavatam. You know that healing Krishna Katha leads to intensification of our Krishna consciousness. Healing itself can be purified. Healing and chanting. Yeah? Chanting and healing. Healing and chanting. Pravishta Kanda Randena Swana Bhava Saroruham Dhanati Samadam Krishna Salilasya Yatha Sarat. Again, Maharaj Parishit in Kendo 2, Bhagavatam. No? That Pravishta Kanda Randena. When Pravishta means to enter, when Krishna Katha enters through the ear, oh Pravishta Karna Randrena, Swana Bhava Saroruva. Then our heart starts getting, that bhava, the lotus-like bhava, that we can develop for the Lord. Pravishta Karna Randrena, Swana Bhava Saroruva, Dhunoti Samadhani Krishna. Then when Krishna enters our ear, holds, goes straight into the heart, and then starts Dhunoti, then starts cleaning our heart, cleansing process, Anartha Nivritti happens. And then we get Nishthara and all those other stages of devotional service. So that is the beauty of healing. And then recently I am studying this for my exam, so I will go this verse as well. Kastyupniya tirtha pado vidana satre shuvasura dhirindya mana yakarna nadi purushasya yato bhava pradangehe ratim chinati. So kastyupniya tirtha pado vidana Satreshu Vasura Dhiridya Mana Yak Karana Nayim Purusha Sheyato. When Krishna Katha enters through the ear holes, Vidura is saying to Maitreya Muni, when it enters our ear holes, then we get satisfied. There is no satiation in Krishna Katha. There is satisfaction, there is no satiation. We want more and more. So this is what we are seeing here, the importance of healing. Then in text number 12 yesterday, which Aditya Chabu was talking about, we saw that the good qualities, Prahlad Maharaj is talking about the good qualities that manifest in devotees. When we are in devotee association and hearing Krishna Katha, then all the good qualities manifest in us that are found in the demigods and perhaps much more. But now that the question becomes, and also there yesterday he said that the non-devotees have no good qualities, which means that even if they have some good qualities, not really speaking, it is temporary in nature. It will eventually come to a cessation. So then the question becomes, that's text number 12. And now we are coming into 13. Yeah? So 12 was, okay, so there are good qualities in devotees, which resembles those of the demigods. But what about those householders who may be educated, who may even have Shastric knowledge, but who are not doing devotional service, they are not taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. What is their situation? This could be a question after looking at yesterday's prayer. This could be the question. What is their situation of those grihasthas who are educated even Shastrically, but are not doing any devotional service? So then Prahlad Maharaj is saying that their situation is that there may be so-called greatness in their position. They may be great, not so-called greatness. But that greatness is of no use unless it's connected with Hari. Just as the crocodile may be very great, very, very powerful, but it is powerless when it is outside the water. Now, you see the connection from yesterday to today? So just as the crocodile can be very powerful, but it is powerless outside the water, Gajendra Master. Similarly, a householder, he may be very wealthy, very well educated, may know no scriptures, may be very prestigious, may be opulent in the society, but their greatness is of no use because it is not connected to Krishna. Their greatness is of no use. And then tomorrow, which will be the last prayer from Prahlad Maharaj, he will say that, given all this, let us surrender to Lord Narasimha Dev. And that's how we will conclude. Yeah? So that's setting the scene. So it took a while. I kind of just wanted to share that. How does it all fit in? So now we'll talk about Prahlad Maharaj a little bit. What I wanted to talk to you about him is that if you look at Prahlad Maharaj's bhakti to Narasimha Dev and those beautiful prayers here and more prayers in Chapter 9, of course, very, very famous prayers. His bhakti is almost inconceivable to us. The atrocities that he has to go through just to chant Hare Krishna is mind-boggling, you know. With the pain that was inflicted on him by his own biological father is beyond comprehension. So both these incomprehensible in Prahlad's pastime, one, his biological father is hell bent on killing his own son. We look at this at the moment. You know, we are all going through the pandemic, and everybody is talking about saving lives. Not saving lives. Of course, the definition of saving lives given by the modern man is different from our definition of saving life. When they talk about saving life, they talk about that the person should not die, which is of course virtuous, no? Try to save somebody's life. Our definition, basic definition of saving life is not only not dying, but make sure that this is our last life. You know? Or at least saving life means connecting the jiva to the Paramatma, no? To the Super Soul, to the Bhagavan. Getting the jiva to the bhakti platform is actually saving life. Otherwise the jiva is flapping and suffering, you know, outside the water. So anyway, the key is the same, that both are trying to save lives. But here, and parents will always be very, very concerned about their child. No? If the child is in some danger, or if the child is outside the sight of the father, especially mother, then the parents, when the child is small, the parents start getting very, you know, edgy and nervous to say, is my child safe? So all the effort will be made to save the child, you know, to make sure, not to save, but to protect the child. But here we see something that is diametrically opposite. The father is making all the arrangements, throwing in all the resources, throwing in all the materials, all the labor to make sure that the son is dead. That is inconceivable. How can, you know, the father be so bad to that extreme of not making all the arrangements to kill his own son? Now, equally on the other side, Prahlad Maharaj is, no matter what the situation, no, I will be devoted to the Lord. Nothing can take me away from the devotion. So much of testing that he has to go through, and he keeps passing each of them. Personally speaking, I might not. No, I will probably give up to be honest. Of so much of atrocities, if it's in your own house, what we speak about outside, then, you know, many people will probably give up. But so much of inspiration that we can gain from this Prahlad Maharaj pastime of continuing to take that extra step. So much of deep, inconceivable faith that he has in the protection from the Lord, that nothing cares. No? And of course, we were not there when Prahlad Maharaj was there, so it will be a little bit more too far out for us. But definitely, it was replayed to us by Srila Prabhupada. All those things that he went through, you know, in the Bowery and New York, you know, living with the druggist and all that. When, again, personally speaking, when I went to Dongting Square Park, and that was only like maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when I, you know, all the joy about, you know, I'm in New York, you know, and my first exploration is, you know, where Srila Prabhupada went, so I was following the Lilamrita, where the Prabhupada lived, you know, that means the Master's gift, and then walking all those streets exactly to Dongting Square Park. So I was just so excited to say, you know, that I'll see the park and it will be very, you know, beautiful, and there will be, you know, hopefully I can get some flashback of how Prabhupada had been sitting and playing that Mridanga. That was one sided of it, remember? And there was no Mridanga, so Prabhupada was playing on a drum, that was only one sided, and asking, you know, disciples to dance and all that. So, but when I entered the park, lo and behold, what I saw is druggies. And Dongting Square Park is like, you know, there are two entrances to it. Now, previously, of course, for the past time it was all druggist. But now, there's like a good part and a bad part of the park. You know? So the good part is when, you know, there are families, the children playing and all those kind of things that we see in the parks in Nagar. But one side of it was still, you know, those junkies, you know, that they call the hippies. They are still sitting there, you know, and then just, my goodness, mostly naked and you know, just sleeping there with tents and all that, and you can just smell the drug in the air. Like, it's so bad. And I would see it. This is 15 years after Prabhupada has left and crossed that area. And I'm drumming, it's like, oh my God, run for your life. Where is the tree that, you know, Prabhupada said under to sing the first Harinam in the US now. I'm looking for that tree, but I'm just so scared. But Prabhupada was fearless. At that time there was nothing, but he was fearless. So this is all inconceivable. How can they, we know the philosophy, but to act this is another thing. So anyway, we came out of the park and then went around and then entered the park again, you know, from the right side, when it was all more serene and much more peaceful. So then, you know, of course there is the tree and all that thing. And there is that placard on the tree that says, I see Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhu had sat under this tree, you know. So that's just amazing, you know, amazing experience. Right? So anyway, so Prahlad Maharaj's devotion is inconceivable, you know, that he can do all that, not extending all the pressure. Now, Narasimhadev, so when Prahlad Maharaj of course appears to protect Narasimhadev appears to protect Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada gave us this Narasimha prayer. So I just wanted to talk about the prayers, but in terms of just sing it together and let's understand the meaning, and it will benefit us. Sometimes when we sing things, we don't realize what the meaning is, so maybe just as a refresher. I know all of us know it, but just as a refresher, what does it mean? So Namaste Narasimhaya. Again, I said prayers generally have three components: dandavats, glorification, and benediction. So we'll see what this prayer, at least some parts of it will be. Yeah? So Namaste. Nama means always obeisances. So Namaste Narasimhaya. I'm paying obeisances to Narasimhadev. Prahlada Daine. So Daine means not to give. Prahlad is of course Prahlad. And Prahlad Alhad. Anadinishti, as we say. Now, there is the pleasure potency. No? So, Anad means to give pleasure. So, Narasimhadev comes to give pleasure to Prahlad. So, Prahlad, Alad, the dying. Then, Narasimhadev, I'll pay obeisances unto him who gives pleasure to Prahlad. Prahlad, Alad, the dying. Then, Hiranyakashi, poor Vakshaha. Vaksha is the chest. So, Hiranyakashapu's chest was Hiranyakashipu for Vaksha Sila. Sila is stone, we know that. So Hiranyakashipu's chest is like stone, very, very hard, metaphorically and literally as well. Literally, he must have been very hard, because perhaps he was going to the gym, yoga gym, very, very hard. And inside was also very hard, when we say hard-hearted, very careless, no feelings, no emotions. So he was very hard-hearted personality. So his heart was like a stone, so sila. Hiranyakashipu, poor Vakshaha sila. In that Tanaka, Nakhala. But Lord Narasimha's Nakhala, like his Nakhun, his fingernails, are also very strong. Sila Tanaka, Nakhala. Tanaka especially. No? Tanaka is like a chisel. So his fingernails are so strong, they are like chisel. Because to cut through the stone, you need the chisel. You can't have a normal razor blade or a kitchen knife to throw it upon. You need some chisel and a hammer to bend it with it. No? So his fingernails are like a chisel, very, very sharp. It can cut through the hard heart of Hiranyakashipu. And then, Ito Narasimha, Parato Narasimha. So Ito Narasimha, Parato Narasimha. If I see here Narasimha, if I see there, there is Narasimha. This is Prahlad's vision. Ito Narasimha, Parato Narasimha. Yato yato, yami tato Narasimha. Yami means I. So wherever I go, yato yato. If I go here, if I go there, there is only Lord. So this is a vision of a pure devotee. A vision of a pure devotee is who can see the Lord anywhere, everywhere. Wherever he goes, there is Krishna. This is Prabhupada also demonstrated to us. Vahir Narasimha, Hitare Narasimha. Not only wherever he goes, there is the presence of the Lord. Bahir means outside. But Hirdaya as well. So if you go, if you don't go anywhere in the lockdown, share inside your house, then again Narasimhadev is there. So no need to go anywhere. If you come to this lockdown, you know, we can't go to the temple because of contact tracing and whatever, then still the road is there inside the heart. Now there is a comparison here, no? Because the heart of the Hiranyakashipu was explained as very hard heart, no? And there is no presence of the Lord there, apart from of course the super soul. But the heart of Prahlad Maharaj, there is always Narasimhadev inside. So outside he can see Narasimhadev in the kamba, in the pillar. Inside he can also see Narasimhadev, no? So that's a pure devotee. Narasimha Madim Charanam Prapade. Charanam means to surrender. So again I surrender with the Lord. So he started with Dandavats, Namaste Narasimhaya, and now we are at the Dandavats. Now at the Sharanagati stage. No? So Then tabakara kamala vare nakam satavaka satava is yo tabakara kakal kamala is lotus, you know, then tabakara kamala vare nakam. Again we are back to the fingernails. His fingernails are very beautiful, which are on his lotus like hand. Tabakara kamala vare nakam. Adbhut the Shringa. We know Shringa is beautiful and Adbhut is wonderful. So the Lord's fingernails, which were compared to chisels, to cut through the stone like heart of Hiranyakashipu, is now again the other way, because that was, so it was strong for Narasimha, for Hiranyakashipu, but it is like lotus like softness and beauty for Prahlad Maharaj. Again another comparison, yeah. Our Acharya is like the phrase in such a beautiful way, yeah. So this is what was very hard for Hiranyakashipu is very soft for Prahlad Maharaj. So Tavakara Kamala Varinaka Adbhuta Shringa, very beautiful. Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Ringa. So Dalita Hiranyakashipu, Dalita is to tear apart, you know, to, you know, fiercely tear it. Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Ringa. Tanu Tan is our body. It's a Tanu, no? Hindi is word Tanu is our body. So that beautiful fingernails of the Lord, which is like lotus, which can also be as equally hard as a chisel, they stow apart the body of Hiranyakashipu. Very easily to stow, just with the fingernails. Nothing else was required. No guns, no bow, no arrow, no gada, nothing, no chakra, no nothing, just fingernails is enough. Tanu Ringa. And why Ringa? Ringa is like the wasp, not like a small insect. If you have a small insect, then if you want to kill, of course devotees will kill the insect, but if somebody wants to kill a small insect, how much effort is required? Do you need a gun to shoot? Do you need bow and arrow? Do you need, you know, mass? Nothing is required. You just, people will just get the insect between their fingers and then just tear it apart. So that's how easily Narasimha Deva is tearing apart Hiranyakashipu, Tanu Ringa. Then, Keshava Devata Nara Hari Rupa. So he is Nara and Hari. Narasimha Deva is half lion, half man, full goat. Half lion, half man, but full goat. Yeah? Tava Sarakamala Varenakama Jabutte Shringa. Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Ringa Keshava Devata Nara Hari Rupa Jai Jagadish. So now we glorify. Jai Jagadish is glorified. Glorified in Jagadish. So three things again in this way. There is downwards, there is damnation, there is Sharanagati, there is glorification. A lot of things are there. Okay. So, Prabhupada talks about bhakti is the solution in his book. I'll talk about that and I'll stop here. I'll take some questions. So Prabhupada talks about bhakti is the solution. We see that and Prabhupada talks about the young couple. The young couple which who has been newly married. They may have all the opulence, but their greatness is of nothing unless it is connected to the Lord. And we see this now, because in the modern times, a lot of effort goes into increasing our standard of living. People want to have a better standard of living. All those sophisticated gadgets are coming out, you know, equipments are coming out, houses are also becoming very sophisticated, just that we can have a standard, just that they measure the standard of living. Sporty cars. Cars, purpose is to take us from destination A to destination B, but it has to be sports. You know, with mag wheels and those mufflers, you know, the exhaust that will make all those squeaking sound and all that. So all these things are being glamorized just so people can buy it, and they think that these things can make people happy. Gadgets, you know, different gadgets. I had a friend, you know, who was saying, you know, that he, this is in my office, that he's got a switch here, he's got a bed which has got aquarium on top of it. Believe it. Just didn't know that they can be beds with aquarium on top of it. So, you know, there's all that sound coming and then the fishes are roaming around. And I go really intrigued. Not that I was interested. I don't even have space for the bed in the house. No, my house is so small. What we speak about is having a bed with an aquarium. So then I googled, you know, beds with aquarium. And I googled it. Why? You try to google it here. You can't come here. My goodness. The type of beds that are there with aquarium. There's one bed also. It's like made of aquarium. It's like there's water under the bed,
water under the side, water on the arms of the bed, and then water on the door, and then the bed goes like this. Not like the caravan van, which has got canopy on top. So it's like almost like the entire thing is like made of glass and water, and all these equities, chasana, remember? He's like that. All these equities are coming through that bed, and then he's sleeping. Hopefully, he's sleeping in that bed. It's that kind of living. What do you think will be his destination in his next life? I think we can be all very certain what life he will get in his next body. You know? Pretty confident. You ask Bhakta Prahlad, the student in his class, even he will tell what is the destination of this particular materialistic person. So all these sophistications are there. Remote control. You press it, the garage opens. You press it, you know, then the vacuum cleaner starts working. You press, everything is just pressure, you know. You just press the button and things start working. And when we don't want to walk or talk, then we don't want to walk or press, then you just say it. And then Siri will say something. Hey Siri, what is the weather today? Oh, it's 18 degrees. Would you like some more information about the weather? Like that. So everything is just so sophisticated now. So it's standard of living. But whatever scriptures say that there is not the standard of living that matters. This is the standard of life that matters. It's different between the standard of living and the standard of life. Our standard of life is determined with our bhakti. We can have glorious standard of living, but there is of no greatness, is what we saw. Unless there is a standard of life. And the standard of life is, Prabhupada told us how we have a standard of life. Simple living, high thinking. Live simply. No. Don't worry about even having an aquarium bed. Don't even have a bed to start with. Sleep on the floor. The sake of interest, you know, and sleep on the floor. And your sleep will be peaceful. Don't need it. Don't tell it as high. Because they are accustomed to this. So simple living. Don't even have a pillow if there is none. You know, just put your hand as your pillow. Very, very simple living. But high thinking. But what the modern household life is about, not simple living, but simply living. Is that again another difference? Yeah? Prabhupada said simple living. He didn't say simply living. Simply living is the standard of living. Just very, very, you know, high standard of living. So high that literally you go to the 108 stories, that the biggest tower in Melbourne, on City Road, the new one. 108 stories. What is it called? The Melbourne Tower, you know? Yeah, the Southern Star, the one in Melbourne City Road. Previously it was, in my time there was before my time there was another Rio Tour Tower. That was our time. Then for the next generation it was Rio Tower. Now there is, I think it's called Melbourne Tower. And then I was meeting recently, the reason I know is because when I was working in my old job, this was, I could see the construction of this building, right from underground, coming all the way up. So I saw it up almost like the 60th story, and then I moved to office, and then of course all down. So anyway, so I was recently reading that in fact, really, now there is creaking sound coming. My goodness, imagine being on 100 stories and there is creaking sound coming, because the building is designed for earthquake proof, yeah, this is the tall buildings. So the building sways literally. Apparently it is said that at the top the building can sway 1 meter this way and 1 meter this way in wind. I really don't understand how it works. It's science, this architectural sounding science is behind me. But it's like something the building sways, and you don't feel it. And of course we are used to it, because when we go in the lifts, we don't feel the lift is coming up 10 stories, but the lift is coming up. You know, so that motion that you don't feel. Or like sitting in an aeroplane when it's going 1,000 kilometers per hour, you don't feel that the aeroplane is moving. You feel that the cloud is moving, but the aeroplane is stagnant. So like that, the building sways and you don't feel it. So anyway, with the sway of the building, they are saying that they are creaking sounds on you. And you can't do much about it, because what the builders are doing these days, apparently, they are using cheap materials in, you know, to make things more cheaper and more quicker. And the regulation is not brought up, blah, blah, blah. So something like that, yeah? And things will be achieved. So the standard of living is so high that it's literally living high as well, into the clouds. But the standard of life is, you know, not as well, devotional aspects that we know. So that's Vidura tells Parikshit Maharaj, Vidura tells Maitreya Muni, the same thing. Jukhaya karmani karoti loko na te sukham vanya dupam amma vindeta goyasta deva dukham yadyatra yuktam bhagavan vade nama. Jukhaya karmani karoti loko. Everybody is looking for happiness, sukhaya, karmani karoti loko, nate sukham vanyadu paramama. But they are not getting happiness, nate sukham. Vedeta bohiyam yadatra, yadatra, ektam, yatra bhagwan bhajena. Hey Bhagwan, hey Maitreya Muni, is there any solution to this? And then we see the famous verse from Maitreya Muni again in 10-3. Shashadadhanasya vivardhamana virakyamanyatra karoti puksham hare pradhanam shriti yedhvitasya samastha dukkhapayam ashudhante.
So, now when you take the lotus, when you take the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then samastha dukkhapayam ashudhante. Then all our miseries can go away. Can fix our standard of life. So our focus is to be in our standard of life by taking the shelter of the Lord in association with the devotees, hearing Krishna Katha, then our problems start coming away. Otherwise, we are like a crocodile, which could be very powerful, but we are out of the water, and therefore we become powerless. So I will stop there. I just want to briefly mention that I think today there are three key things mentioned on our Vaishnava calendar. So today is Guru Purnima, the auspicious day of appreciating our spiritual masters and certainly Srila Prabhupada. So I'd like to remember our spiritual masters, and today is the disappearance day of Srila Swandana Goswami. I don't think there is nothing, so anyway, today is the disappearance day, and we know the glories of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And today also marks the first day of the beginning of the Chaturmasya, so first month. Of the 4 months, yeah, holy Masai, special Masai. So today is the fasting for those who are particularly hardcore about these things, and today is the fasting, today marks the beginning of the fasting from green leaf festivals, yeah? Did I get that? Green leaf festivals. Now I'm going to leave about fasting from green leaves and yoga and all that to the senior devotees. I think we all have various aspects about this. What did Srila Gopal exactly say about this? I confess that I don't know. So better to listen from some senior devotees and take guidance from them. What to fast and what not to fast, how much to fast and how much not to fast. But what we can do, and that part I can speak on, is definitely do more of Krishna consciousness. No. Whatever we did yesterday, let's try to do a little bit extra today, because today is the beginning of the 4 months. And then whatever we do today, when it comes tomorrow when we wake up, let's all do a little bit extra tomorrow. So that way we can always, little extra. So literally when we wake up, we can recollect quickly, what did we do yesterday about Krishna consciousness? Okay, so what is one thing extra that we will do today? Which could be extra rounds, extra series, extra reading, one more base to memorize, little bit more power to the Lord, association to something extra we do, and then we keep doing extra and extra for the 4 months. Then there is our gradual purification of and intensification of Krishna consciousness. What not to do, what not to fast from, and all those things, I'm not an expert. With that, I'll stop. I can take one or two questions and corrections and comments if there is any.
So, to remain about the young family.
Somebody was remaining. So, why is it? So, the question from Jeremiah is, can you talk about what was mentioned? Why low, why young couple, why not old couple? Yeah. So, I have to listen. and we are talking about this in Tamil, called the Ramchak. Is it only my couple like me? But very briefly for the benefit of the Vaishnava audience, I did some research on this because that was my inherent question as well, why young couples? Because all the couples generally Grihamedis are attached to each other. And then I found the answer. It is said young couples because young couples have less responsibility compared to the elder couples. So when we get married, for those of us who are married, in the beginning, before marriage, if it's a love marriage, then it's all hunky-dory, no? The boy and the girl are just completely attached to each other, nothing. No? They'll leave their parents, if anybody comes in between them. Now I'll leave my house and run away, so they will threaten their parents. They just want to be together. And once they get married, in the initial days, it's all romance. No, but not much responsibilities. Because in the beginning, life is good, just do it. So all romance. But that is in the young days. But when the kids come, when the children are born, then life changes completely. Then the romance disappears. They have to make effort to make marriage life more romantic. Otherwise the romance disappears. Because all the focus starts coming on the uptake of and the upbringing of the children. Right from the beginning, the moment the child is born, until the child is married, and after even that, the mother and the father are always anxious about the child. And I'm speaking from my own realization, trust me.
know, there's so much effort that goes into looking after them, and when they are toddlers, babies and toddlers, that you pray to the Lord that, oh my Lord, when will my child become 9, 8, 9, 10 years old, so that I don't have to worry about him at every single step. Because at the moment, if I go somewhere, he'll come. If you do something, he'll do it. If you want to sleep, you can't until he's sleeping or she's sleeping. So every moment is going on just with the child. No? But when so you pray intentionally to the Lord that when my child becomes 8, 9, 10 years, teenager, I will become blissful because all the problems will be solved. And when the child becomes a teenager, then your problem, then your prayer intensifies to the Lord. Oh my Lord, problem has taken another 10 now. There is more problems. Why then the child becomes smaller again? Because that problem was better than this problem. I'm not saying children are bad, don't get me wrong, children are beautiful. But this is a phase that everybody goes through. And perhaps some of us may be naughty as well to our own parents. So like that, life just throws boogly at us at any point in time. So but anyway, back to the point, when the couple is young, less responsibilities, less problems. And then as the marriage grows, marriage life grows and the time grows, families come, then new roles start coming, then the child starts coming, then the child's husband, child's girlfriend, child's wife, child's child will come. So all these problems will come. So at the beginning, the young couple may think they are great, because you know, they are careless about everything else. But here we see that their greatness is of no value, unless it is connected with the Lord. Otherwise, having less problems in relational life itself is of no value. Nothing, problems is of no value, neither no problems are of no value. It is all useless until it is connected with the Lord. Yeah, it's a little bit. We'll back again. Don't touch me, Paul. Don't touch me, Paul. Don't touch me, Paul.